Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Last week, we brought you part one of a message called Stand. Today, we want to bring you the conclusion of that message. But first, we have some great music from our friends, Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their project titled Where Strength Begins, the name of this track is A Time Such as This.
For a time such as we've been born, we've been blessed long before time began. We were in the Father's plan. By His love, by His will, He would see the dream fulfilled. By the blood of His own Son, we are free, and we
And now, as promised, here is the conclusion to the message we began airing last week, titled Stand. Be blessed as you enjoy the scriptural message of encouragement.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to hear it, neither yet now are ye able. I just want to pause here and say I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful that at least a strong core group of this church has been able to receive strong preaching that has been not just milk, but meat. Not everyone. And I mentioned to you, there are some that have gone out from us. But I'm thankful for those of you that have been able to be mature and receive meat. He chastised these believers in Corinth. Watch this. What had they done? What had they given themselves to that made the apostle chastise them so much? Disunity, discord, gathering themselves in little cliques and groups and sects and warring amongst each other and dividing themselves one side against another. He says in verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. In other words, if God is a gardener or a farmer, you are the garden or you are the crop. If God is a builder, he's an architect and a contractor and a builder, you're the building he's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Folks, there's coming a day when your entire life of service in the kingdom will be tried in a fiery judgment. And if what you built was not of eternal weight, it will be consumed in that fire of judgment. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and find out that my whole life and my decades of labor weren't really of any eternal significance. See, wow, Pastor Joseph, this is hard stuff. Yeah, this is not the kind of message people run the aisles on. I love when God gives me that kind of message. Wow, that's everybody loves that. But this is in the Word, folks. This is important stuff. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It can be, and I pray it is not so for you or me, but it can be that a person who is living for the Lord, and they were saved, and they will be saved in that day, but their whole lifetime was just a mishmash of carnality and a mishmash of improperly weighted priorities and a mishmash of discord and division and feuding and fighting and fault finding and backstabbing. And their whole life was was made up of things that didn't really impact the kingdom of God for eternity, and they'll get through that trial by fire, and they'll just barely be saved by the skin of their teeth and have no weight of reward in their crown. I'm convinced there are people that during this age, during this lifetime, they weren't esteemed as great leaders in the kingdom of God. Yet in that day, they'll be put in charge of whole nations. And by the same token, I think there may be some people who are very famous and well-known as leaders now, and they may wind up being told, okay, you're in charge of that broom closet over there. He said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Wow. Is it okay for me to remind everybody this is a holiness church? You need to keep your temple holy. Let no man deceive himself. That's no accident to find that kind of wording. You've heard me mention over and over and over again, if you're not careful, your heart will trick you. Your heart will tell you you're okay when you're not. He said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us. And when he says us, he is speaking in a plurality of those specially called ministers that are apostles or church planters. He says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. I have to tell you honestly, a big part of this, I know, is me preaching to myself tonight. The Apostle Paul said, I judge not mine own self. I need to take heed to that. When I look at the losses over the last couple of 3 years, it's very easy for me to blame myself. And I remember Jack Cunningham testifying that Billy Cole told him, warned him, any man that will take the blame when it goes wrong will take the credit when it goes right. Wow. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not even going to judge my own self with regard to my construction on the foundation. He said, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. In prayer tonight, before coming up here to preach, I wept. I wept at a nudge from the Spirit of God that when I collapse on the floor in despair over those who have walked away, and I think about the agony that the great shepherd goes through as those sheep transition into wolves. And I weigh out, Lord, am I gonna come and stand before you and find out that everything that I tried to build was wood, hay, and stubble? I felt a nudge from the Lord. Let me judge that. You may be thinking it's stubble when it's gold. Let me judge it. And there's a deeper underlying message here. We are too quick to judge ourselves. And we are even quicker to judge our brother. Don't judge your brother. Don't judge your sister. Let God judge. God will judge right. We don't judge right. We can't see clearly enough. Man looks on the outward. God looks on the heart. I cannot judge properly. I not only can't judge you properly, can't even judge myself properly. But God will judge in the end. He says, he that judgeth me is the Lord. Watch this. I'm reading in chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Now, there are times in this life when we have to make a judgment. There are many of them. But the mistake we often make is we judge too early. We go into a preemptive judgment. You know what the Bible says about making a ruling on it, making a decision on where you come down on the matter before you've heard all sides? The Scripture calls it foolishness, calls it folly. The Bible calls that answering a matter before you've heard it. There's a right time to make a judgment, and it's not before you've heard all sides. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. Now, there's a bit of a dual meaning here. Not only does it mean wait until you've heard all the testimony before you judge, but there's another layer, and that is that there are some things that we will never be able to rightly judge this side of glory, and we need to leave it until the Lord helps us to reach the right judgment on the matter. He says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. I'm not trying to scare you, and to our viewers by way of live stream, I'm not trying to participate in fear-mongering, but I have to give you the whole counsel of God. I have to preach to you the whole counsel, the whole gospel without fear or favor. The motto of the United Pentecostal Church is the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church. And I have to tell you, it's a wise saying that reputation is what others think about you, but your character is what you really are. It's a wise saying that your character is what you do when you think no one is watching. But it goes even deeper than that. The Scripture indicates that in that day, hidden things of darkness will be brought to light. Do you hear me? It is a motto in my preaching. Do you hear me? This is a motif in my preaching. In the end, nobody gets away with anything. Now, maybe you're not quite putting that together, but hear me. The psalmist said, I almost gave up. I almost backslid. I almost stumbled and fell, but then I made it to the house of the Lord, and the Lord showed me through the spirit of prophecy. He showed me what their end is. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it almost made me backslide. Hear me what I'm saying. I'm telling you that when you see people and you see in your mind, in your estimation, they're getting away with murder and they're not being called into account, and it looks like they're getting off scot-free, and how can the pastor judge this way, and how can God judge that way? I'm telling you, if you wait until the end, nobody will get away with anything, and that knowledge ought to help you stand and not backslide. He said this, not only will every hidden thing of darkness be brought to light, but he said that judgment is going to make manifest or reveal the counsel of the hearts. In other words, the very thoughts in your mind. I just want to say again, folks, the Lord is coming and we have to be ready. We have to be a holy church with a wedding garment that is without spot or wrinkle. We have to be a bride that is without blemish. This is a holiness message from a holiness book for a holiness people. He said, In these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and that no one of you be puffed up for against another. Wow. You know what makes people leave church? Being puffed up against each other. You know what makes people backslide even if they won't leave? Being puffed up against each other. In other words, discord, division, gossip, murmuring, complaining, backbiting, rumors. Verse 7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? I try my best when I bring you information that's from some other author. I do my best to try to credit them. Sometimes as I look back through my notes, I find a common mistake. And it is that when I attributed the authorship of the document, I'll put the month and the day, and I forget to put the year. And then 5, 10, 15 years later, when I look at it, I have no idea what year I got it from them. I know the month and the day, but I don't know the year. But one of our United Pentecostal Church ministers is a pastor by the name of Scott Phillips. And he wrote something, and then he wrote a preamble to it. And I want to read to you both his preamble and the thing that he wrote. I read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I read up to verse 7. Why do you act as if you hadn't received it? Why do you glory as though it wasn't given to you? But he read on through verse 8. I want to read on through verse 8 before I read it. He says, now you're full. Now you're rich. You've reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. This is a powerful message from the church planter to the church he founded. And having read those words, Pastor Scott Phillips said this. He said, a week ago while on vacation, I was awakened with these thoughts running through my mind, weighing on my heart. In the darkness that precedes morning, with my thumb typing on my phone, I wrote what is below. This morning, intending to listen to 2 Corinthians 4, I inadvertently selected 1 Corinthians 4. It was like another reminder of what the Lord had prompted my heart with. I've ran it through my heart, for I must be first partaker. I felt and I knew this was to be shared. Beware of the efforts to get you to see yourself separate from and disconnect yourself from the very people and message and reality that brought you to the point you are. The first one that fell for that was Lucifer. And we see he has spent his time slithering through the gardens of men, asking questions with the intent of taking them out of the simple surroundings of believing and obeying God without question. Just because someone else made that mistake, don't let them get you to make that decision so they have company in their error. My determination, I am a part and not a part. Did you know a part as one word means cut off, and a part as two words mean you are a part of this? Punctuation and spelling matter, contrary to what some in culture today are saying. This is what he wrote. We spend our life being helped, blessed, assisted, encouraged, edified, prophesied to, preached to, and pastored. When you have been blessed in time, things begin to turn out better for you. The devil spends his time selling us a lie that we did it all by ourselves. Obscuring the real reality, we were created by the gentle hands of God through the church. If this lie from the enemy that we did it all ourselves, if that lie is purchased, we will live believing in our own superior spirituality, our own superior wisdom and creativity, filling us with the lie of pride, self-righteousness, and self-centeredness, rather than humbly being added to the chain of nameless helpers. We will try to build our own brand of secret sauce, obscuring the fact it's the result of all those nameless, forgotten souls God loved us through. The antidote to this cancer-causing pride is humble honesty. You're not special. If it's good you do, it's by the grace of God. Quickly take your name, your claim, your glory, and shame off of it. Fall down on your face and give God the praise. Remember Absalom hanging in the tree from his shameful locks. Remember Saul being rejected by God. Remember Balaam's self-will. Remember Ananias and Sapphira giving for the purpose of getting credit. Remember the beginning state of the liar and the father of lies. You are the product of the grace of God. Don't fall from the lofty perch of pride. Climb down off the pedestal of self and place yourself in a place of surrender again. On your face, prostrate humility before your Creator. If Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and he was the Creator and Savior of the world, how much more should we, the created and the saved, follow this example and submit ourselves to the body of Christ and those he has placed in and around our lives? I want to pause and interrupt his message right here. I'm near the end of it. I just want to pause and interrupt it and say, this is what the scripture says. How can you say that you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? He said, if you see a turtle on a telephone pole, that tells you something. He did not get there by himself. Now, Brother T.F. Tenney always said it, if you see a turtle on a fence post. Scott Phillips has elevated the height at which the turtle has been escalated. He's on top of a telephone pole. He said, if you see some virtue or goodness you have done, you did not get there by yourself. I am thankful to the hands that blessed me, from my parents, Sunday school teachers, family, friends, mentors, so many who have laid their hands on me in prayer. I submit and surrender afresh to the anonymity of the body of Christ. I am nothing without it, and I refuse to be anything disconnected from it. Scott Phillips. There is a spirit of this age, and it is seeking to destroy two types of families: church and the nuclear family. And both of them are crucial. And I just will point this out. God created marriage and the nuclear family before he created the church. In fact, he created it before human government. Marriage as an institution predates all other institutions on earth, man-made or made by God. Marriage and family is foundational to society. And I want to ask you, as we gather together, realize my family is under attack. Your family is under attack. And the church family is under attack. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And my message to you, moms, grandmoms, great-grandmoms, my message to you, men, husbands, fathers, uncles, grandfathers, stepfathers, my message to you, men and women, is this. This is not the time to throw in the towel. This is the time to stand. To stand in unity and in love and in fellowship. And from that unity, from obedience, unity, and from unity, victory. Brother Tekla Merriam Gazahagni would say, every time the preachers from the modern Western world would come to see the great revival, those preachers would say, you must preach revival day and night. And he would always answer, no, we don't preach revival. We preach unity. And when we get unity, revival comes automatically. I want to encourage you, let's pray and seek the face of God. I want to encourage you to plead the blood of Jesus as a hedge of protection around the church family. Plead the blood of Jesus as a hedge of protection around your family. And let's pray one for another in the Holy Ghost and see what God will do as we stand and stand, therefore, having taken upon us the whole armor. Let's pray before the Lord tonight.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.